Sherman and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
If you miss something, the podcast, is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now. Get it in the App Store and Google Play.
All right, thank you, Hoodie, Danny, JR, Meller, all the callers, all the guests. Thank you for making my 60th birthday very special.
That's what we're here for, pal.
That was awesome.
Happy birthday to
you. Thank you. Appreciate you.
And 60 more.
Appreciate you.
I'm already changing your diapers, so it can't be that much worse.
No, it can't get worse than that.
Wait a minute, 60 more. You told me when we were planning this birthday extravaganza, this was the finale birthday extravaganza I'd have to plan.
This is it. Wow.
Take that.
Wow.
So, Danny, thanks, man.
Cap, anything for you.
That was awesome.
Anything for you.
Absolutely awesome.
And I got you a gift card to Aurelio's for after the show.
It's delicious pizza. They have great sauce. Their sauce is very, it got a little sweetness to it.
Hey, coffee's for closers only, Carm. Put the mug down. What are you doing there, pal? Put the coffee down.
Carm, I don't know if you were working out or if you missed it, but it was amazing. Francesa called in.
I heard Dirk Nowitzki. Wow, I heard Dirk, too. That was amazing. I mean, geez, Jordan Cornette, get to cut me some slack for crying out loud. I mean.
I did not know he went 9 in the first round.
Yeah, he was 9 overall. Mock Schnell, yeah.
That was amazing.
Wasn't that something, man? I tell you, they cut the stars come out, buddy. And Francesa to call in. I mean, you know, a little bit of a surly guy, but that was a mensch move by Francesa to wish you happy birthday, Cap.
Appreciate you.
60th birthday, Cap.
Appreciate you, my man.
Crosstalk here with Carmen and Yurko is brought to you by
Hawthorne Racecourse. 1,000-pound thoroughbred athletes are back at Hawthorne, Chicago's hometown track. Download the Club Hawthorne app to watch and wager from anywhere. Details at HawthorneRacecourse.com. If you're thinking, what does a 1,000-pound athlete look like? It's 100 Randy Merkins.
Secretariat was awesome, too, speaking of 1,000-pound thoroughbred athletes.
That was incredible.
Amazing. Amazing stuff. Yes.
So
Secretariat himself. Wow.
What do you think about that, Meller? I know you're not that impressed with what I do, but I tell you what. That was award-winning right there.
How about that interview?
Award-winning.
A little bit impressed there, Hoodie.
Yeah, not surprised.
It was better than the Dirk Nowitzki call-in, apparently.
Oh!
I was thoroughly entertained by Dirk calling in, and I didn't know that meant as much as you did to him.
Of course. Yeah, he discovered him.
Amazing.
Carm and Meller. Guys,
what's going on?
Well, Hoodie was right on. He caught me slurping my coffee. Sorry about that. Coffee is for closers only. Is that too antiquated of a reference to, like, I wrote this whole bit. We never did it, though, because we felt like maybe it's, like, is that still relevant, the coffee's for closers only scene? I wrote this whole bit about how Mike Holmgren was going to come in and fix the Bears. Like, Mike Holmgren was playing the Alec Baldwin character. Should we do that, Hoodie? Is that... Like, do young people know that bit? Would they get it?
Well, if they like classic movies and great movies, they should get it.
Maybe we should record that next week, Meller.
You know, I think it's one of those situations where you don't necessarily have to go back and watch Glengarry Glen Ross, but you hear that enough, and if you explain where the reference is from, you can just dial up YouTube, watch that scene as a standalone. You really don't need to watch the rest of the movie. Not that you shouldn't. I mean, it is a great film.
Yeah.
But, like, in this day and age we're living in 2020, people can watch classic scenes from classic movies. They don't necessarily need to set aside an entire 2 hours because, truth be told, a lot of people in their 20s, you know, or if you're, you know, a teenager, are not going to set aside 2+ hours to watch a film like Glengarry Glen Ross. But you can watch 5 minutes of a classic scene and I think get the gist of it.
That's a good call. Maybe we need to put that in the can for next week then. We'll see. I saved it, so we still have it. We have it in the arsenal, as we like to say, boys.
Looking forward to it. What'd you think of the pick last night?
Well, I mean, it wasn't BS or subterfuge or disinformation or anything like that. I mean, they obviously really like Patrick Williams. I think if we're going to believe some of the reports that are out there, there were a few other teams that liked him. It sounds like Detroit very much liked him, and I wouldn't harp too much, guys. All I'll say is I wouldn't harp too much or get caught up too much in the fact that he did not start. He was 18 years old playing in the ACC for a really good program last year. And as Leonard Hamilton, not so much joked, I think more in a very serious tone, sort of told reporters after the draft last night that he might not have started, but he finished. And that's what's important, that he finished games. And I honestly, I wouldn't get too wrapped up. I mean, people on Twitter comparing this to Mitch Trubisky. Let's get real, folks. Mitch Trubisky couldn't start until his third year and at a school that exactly doesn't turn out quarterbacks, although the one they have there now looks like he might be the best one. But this is not Mitch Trubisky not being able to start at North Carolina playing football. So I'd pump the brakes on that.
Yeah, well said.
I loved listening to you guys, you know, have Connor Chauvis on at 9 o'clock, and we'll play a couple cuts from him. He told you flat out, look, there's no ceiling on Patrick Williams. And that, it, you know, when you're in the NBA, they're gonna take over this organization. And I like the fact that they didn't make a move like trading Wendell Carter Jr. Like, had they done that, I'm not going to argue with it, but I would have been a little disappointed when you have an asset like him who clearly underachieved under Jim Boylan. And I want you guys to let Billy Donovan put his hands on Wendell Carter Jr. and see what he can become. So, like,
and Markkanen.
You know, exactly. And I don't think Markkanen was really ever realistically on the table as someone they were considering trading. But I'm glad that they're going to, you know, step back. They're going to let their guys, their development team, come in and work with these players they have, and they're going to assess. That's what I want to see as a Bulls fan. And go ahead, take, you know, shoot for the moon with Patrick Williams. Sure, Jordan dropped the name Kawhi, and he was very, you know, careful about saying, I'm not saying he's going to be the next Kawhi Leonard, but he has some attributes that Kawhi Leonard has. As a basketball fan, that excites me. Maybe he won't be the guy they build around, but until they have that guy that they build around, go ahead and continue to shoot for the moon, because that's in the NBA, let's be honest, until you have the superstar or two on your roster, you're always looking for that guy to build around.
Yeah, absolutely. I just look at it like this, and we knew this before the draft. I knew it on draft night. Like, I told Cap, I don't see an all-star within the first couple of years, maybe the first 3 years of a lot of these guys. Because you got the top four or five guys can't shoot. Don't shoot the ball well.
Yeah.
So, but
and in this league.
but in the next couple of years, you'll see the development. Who will be able to get on the other side of the development curve first? That's the race that you look at. That's
a good question, Hoodie. This might always be judged by the two picks that went right after Williams. And Okoro is a little bit different because he's not as big. He's kind of more like maybe your combo guy. He's not as big as Williams or as Okongwu. But like Isaac Okoro went next. If he can shoot the ball, there's your all-star in this class. There's your star, if you ask me, in this class. And he went with the very next pick. Again, they're not the exact same player, but some of it might, you know, depending on how well Williams develops, like, or fails to, some of it might be judged on how Okoro plays in Cleveland. Let's face it, but that is a fair point, Hoodie. And if there's one guy that can really develop that shot and make it consistently, Okoro is going to be a stud.
Sure. Like, what if Patrick Williams is Jimmy Butler at the beginning, then it develops into an offensive player? Like, I'd love to have a guy that's dedicated to be able to defend the baselines and use that wingspan. I'll take that.
He's so gifted. I like the Halliburton kid. I think the Kings got a steal at 12. I think
they might have at 12. I don't know who that he's got. I don't think he's going to be a superstar, though.
No, I think he's going to be like a 12-year pro that you go, that guy's a solid-ass player.
I agree with you, Cap, but I'm with Carm in the sense that for the Kings, it was perfect. He fell into their lap. Had the Bulls taken Halliburton, though, I would have, and I know you really wanted him, but like Carm said, I don't think he's a superstar in this league, and until the Bulls have those pieces, like, you're picking this high, you know, go ahead and take a home run cut.
Well, you play the cut, we don't have it up yet, but the cut from Arturas with us when he said, look, when you're picking at four, you swing for the fences.
Yeah, right.
Like,
exactly.
Halliburton is just Kirk Heinrich, just a 12-year, 15-year player. You go, well, that was a successful player, but he doesn't have the upside to be a superstar.
And that's a good point.
That encourages me as a Bulls fan because, like, it was their first opportunity to show you what their mindset is. And picking at four, they're not looking for a 12-year pro.
He's looking for a star.
And maybe I'm biased because that's how I would approach it. But, like, again, I look at this roster, and Zach LaVine's a nice player, but he's not the guy you're going to build around if you're going to contend for championships.
That's correct.
And so maybe Patrick Williams, you know what, if he develops that shot, he could be the superstar in this draft. I think it's certainly possible. You know, and I think about a guy like Brook Lopez. When he came into the league, I never had the inclination that he would, you know, fire up four or five three-pointers a game. But that's what this league has become.
Yeah.
And so I think a guy who's got as much talent as Patrick Williams has, if he develops that shot, he could be a superstar, and that excites me as a Bulls fan.
It is this whole fear of this being true. I don't even know where that came from. I guess it came from social media. I didn't read that.
It did. I saw it a ton, Hoodie.
It's so not. It's such nonsense. My response to that would be, so you want to go back to Garn Pax? You want to go back there? You want them to be able to choose your draft picks now? There's a reason why they turned a page on those guys.
Correct.
Yeah.
To have a fresh set of eyes in the organization. Right.
They had to, you know, they were always looking for like the guys that played 3 or 4 years and you played at Duke or you played at, Kansas. And it was like, it was the safe. Yeah. It was Denzel Valentine, for crying out loud. I mean, it's like, yeah, do you want that? Or do you want them to kind of, like Arturis told you guys, swing for the fences here and aim big? They obviously, in their evaluations, see something that they really like in this kid. There are some obvious physical tools that wow everybody. He just turned 19, for crying out loud. So, just wait till these professional trainers and strength and conditioning coaches, I should say more than trainers, get him into their program. And if he gets stronger and if he develops that shot that we're talking about and he's truly one of those 3-and-D guys, nobody's going to remember that he didn't start as an 18-year-old freshman at Florida State. It's not going to matter. He still played over half the game. I think he still played like 24 minutes a game. So yeah. I would not get wrapped up in that.
Did you see the quote from LeVar Ball? Tell MJ, here we come. Oh, tell MJ, we're coming.
I tweeted that last night. I said, now they got to play one-on-one now, don't they?
Hoodie said, if that kid, because he said in Lithuania, LaMelo, practice? Ugh, I want to practice. Wait till Michael comes out. Lock the door.
Well, remember, LaVar said...
Cut the light on.
Cut that light on.
Cut the light
remember,
on.
Remember, LaVar said he could beat Michael one-on-one, didn't he?
He did.
Said, in my prime, I could beat Michael one-on-one. They should have, like, you know, the all-60 one-on-one game in Charlotte now.
Now, I think that... You know what? I think that market's perfect for LaMelo. I'm glad he didn't come here or go to New York. He's in Charlotte. That's an attraction now for Charlotte.
Yeah.
Now you got got walk-up tickets. Like, all the Mellos in town. This should be a circus. Let's see what happens here.
Right.
A terrific passer. Now, again, another guy's got to develop his shot.
Sure.
He could be a really good player in this league. But I love the imagery of Michael Jordan's like, cut the light on. Oh, LaVar, you talking ish to me? Let's do this. Right now. You and me.
I would love that. They got to tape it and put it on social media because it would be so great. The other best part of the night last night was the CNN Kuwait reporter, Bruce Pearl, live in Kuwait. I mean, did you guys see that?
Yes.
What, I mean, go back and look at that getup that he was wearing. I mean, it literally looked like 1990 CNN in Kuwait. I'm like, wait a minute. What is Bruce Pearl doing?
It's a great call, Carm. The grainy footage, you know, live from the, you know, on the scene, Bruce Pearl.
Bombs going off in the background. It was like all dark behind him. He had on like some weird. I mean, I swear to God, I thought all of a sudden I was back in high school watching coverage of the war in Kuwait breakout. I was like, what is?
Did you see the Diana Taurasi interview where they did?
Yeah, that was weird.
On a her on a hologram.
That was weird.
Listen, I understand that you know, product placement is, you know, something that a lot of sponsors want in the broadcast these days. So I get it. But I think you got to do a little better when that's what you come up with.
Right.
Like you can have a meaningful question to Patrick Williams if that's what you're going to do.
Right. It was like too, it's quick in and out.
He's it was weird.
Whoa.
Yeah. It loses its effect.
What we saw there was the future of the business. Oof. You don't have to be there. You just be a hologram.
Yeah.
It's a hologram. It's crazy.
That's it.
They don't need us.
All right. We're going to get out of your way. Thank you again, everybody.
Happy birthday.
Thank you for the kind wishes. And we will see you all tomorrow. Carm and Meller are coming up next. Have a great rest of your day. See ya.
Take that.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Now, there's a new bull in town. It's Patrick Williams, and we discussed it on the show yesterday. Was it classic, you know, pre-draft disinformation and subterfuge and all that fun stuff? Did the Bulls know that the Pistons were in love with Patrick Williams and that they were trying to move up to make sure nobody else got him after the top three went off the board? And were the Bulls just playing a game? Guess not. The Bulls stayed at 4, and they picked Patrick Williams. They genuinely love him. Everybody sort of knew who those top three were going to be. After that, a little bit more of a crapshoot, and the Williams pick did surprise a lot of people, but he is a Bulls player now, and they hope to get the very best out of him. Welcome in, everybody, the day after the draft. We're going to be all over it today. We got a lot happening. We'll talk to Joe Cowley here in just about 7-8 minutes to recap what the Bulls did and to look ahead at free agency, which starts tomorrow. Dan Wiederer in about 35 minutes talking Bears with us. Interesting stuff from some of the coaches yesterday as they try to figure out what's wrong with them going into their bye. Well, we need they need more than a week to figure out what's wrong with them. But anyway, I digress. Yurko's off the next couple of days. He's back next week. Midway Jeff Meller sitting in. Nice to have you, Jeff.
Nice to be had, Carm. You mentioned the Patrick Williams. He seemed to be a big mover as the draft approached, and lots of teams there were rumors that teams were trying to move up. The Spurs had interest, apparently. I wonder, somebody like him with his athletic gifts, having seen what we've seen with players like Giannis and Kawhi drafted, in the teens, but a lot of, certainly that's, you get into trouble when you use comps, right? But look, yeah. I wonder if a few years earlier, Patrick Williams may have fallen into those, those teen spots. But at this point, I wonder if you think you can develop a kid's shot and he shows you the athletic gifts that Patrick Williams has been blessed with. Maybe that's why after, the top three were a pretty clear cut top three. Maybe that's why the Bulls were so intrigued with the opportunity to make him part of the foundation, the first pick in the Connor Chauvis era.
Yeah, and maybe, it's pardon the pun, without a ton of slam dunks in this draft. I mean, this was viewed widely as a draft that wasn't great, right, Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's face it. And so maybe because of that, it allows teams like the Bulls or anybody else to start evaluating these players, and anybody that's not maybe outside of one of those guaranteed top three, it allows them to do what AK said. And that's kind of like, well, let's take a big swing on a kid that we think is a freak athlete with a great NBA body that's already pretty strong and already a good defender at just 19 years old.
Perfect time to play Connor Chauvis, who was on with Cap and Jay Hood earlier today. He discussed what he liked about Patrick Williams.
Well, there's no ceiling right now. And the kid is eager to learn. Just turned 19. He was on Florida State campus at 17. Amazing athlete, but I think the most underrated part of his game was skill level. He played point guard in high school. He can really handle the ball. He has huge hands. So we're very excited to add him.
You love a kid who played point guard in high school, has the handles, and then, of course, shot up with the growth spurt and is now, 6'8", 6'9". I mean,
I love that.
I mean, part of the whole growing process when you're playing hoops is if you've got the ball, especially what we're seeing now, in 2020, the kind of positionless basketball that exists. You need players who have the length. You've mentioned the 3-and-D idea, but also if you can be 3-and-D and have the ability to handle and be a ball handler on the court, that's a huge asset.
Didn't that happen to David Robinson? Wasn't he, when he went to Navy, like 6'3 or 6'4? Or
was he really?
Or maybe before.
I know that happened to Anthony Davis,
For sure. I know David Robinson grew late as well.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think actually, now that Merck is saying it, it vaguely somewhere in my brain, I'm remembering the idea that part of the reason, when he went to the military, they don't like you generally to be that tall. Like, being 7 foot is not always an asset because of, what you're doing in the Navy. It's hard to hop into a submarine if you're 7 feet, right?
You can't get in a submarine,
right?
Exactly, when you're 7 feet tall.
But nevertheless, let me play one more cut, too, from Connor Chauvis talking about what they were looking for picking that high at number four.
Well, at four, you're shooting for the stars, right? So, and Patrick has a huge upside. And we thought that was a home run for us at four. He can get on the floor physically. I think the adjustment he's going to have to make is mentally, and he's been in college only for a year, so 1 year removed from high school basketball. So it's coming at him fast and furious. And when we met him, we thought he was mature beyond his years. And so we're excited, and I think he can handle it. And I know it's going to be a process for him, but I think he can handle it.
So there you go, swinging for the fences.
I do like that answer. I really do. Like when he says at 4 years swinging for the fences, when he talks about there really is no ceiling right now. I mean, they obviously see something that they like a lot, and I'd be interested to hear from Bulls fans, like, are you willing – I'm willing. I mean, I think you always have to be when a new regime comes in. Like, are you going to give this crew the benefit of the doubt? Billy Donovan's been around a time or two and knows what he's looking at. He's coached extremely well at both levels, and he's reached the mountaintop, obviously, at the college level. Like, Billy knows what he's looking at as a former star player, as a extremely successful college coach, as a successful NBA coach. I think Eversley, again, has, from everything I've heard about him, has a pretty good eye for talent. You know AK does, because we ran through this yesterday, Jeff, where, when Yurk and I were talking about what he did and what he was a part of in Denver. Denver, in his tenure there, and I know he wasn't the main man, but his eyes were counted upon. Their drafts were good. They found, in large part because of AK, Nikola Jokic in the second round. They traded for Harris and Nurkic. They drafted Jamal Murray. They drafted Malik Beasley. Porter probably fell to them more than anything. It's kind of like Halliburton.
Yeah, because of the back.
Kind of falling
because
right,
of the back.
But they went out and they grabbed Michael Porter, and he looks like, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to be just fine. Like, I think we have to be willing to give this crew the benefit of the doubt right now, and I'm wondering if Bulls fans are willing to do that. 312-332-3776.
And you know what? I'm encouraged by two. Now, I would not have faulted the Bulls had they selected Denny Avdija yesterday, because certainly the international scouting is Karnišovas' specialty. I'm going to defer to him. I'm not going to come on here and pretend like I know more about Denny Avdija if they had selected him yesterday. But it was also, I would have said, it would have led to an easy stereotype that, you know, Karnišovas, who made his bones with his international scouting, just, you know, defaulted to drafting the best international player yesterday. I'm glad, you know, for whatever reason, I'm glad to see that, no, it's not going to be simply, you know, just whatever you guys think of me, that's the narrative. No. Denny Avdija, a lot of people assumed that he was going to be the Bulls' pick, and I'm glad to see that, no, they decided that Patrick Williams is the guy that has the most upside potential at that spot. And I guess I wonder, too, who would Bulls fans have wanted to see them pick last night if not Patrick Williams? Who was the player who you thought they had to have that they did not take?
And it's hard to say Avdija, because we just don't, even in an era now where we can watch him on YouTube and stuff like that. But, I mean, even with that, we don't. I mean, who knew before 6 months ago who Denny Avdija really was? You know what I mean? Like, it's hard. At least with these college kids, you still see him. You know, you've got copious amounts of highlights that you can go back and watch of Florida State games or Auburn. I got to admit, and we talked about it in the months leading up to the draft, Isaac Okoro is a very intriguing prospect to me. He's the kid that went next. They say he's probably the best perimeter defender in this draft already, and that if he can develop that jump shot, he might be the true star out of this whole crew. I mean, he's just got the great NBA body and the athleticism and the strength and the defensive ability and all that. We might always kind of compare, you know, this Williams pick to that, even though Okoro's a little bit different. He's a little bit smaller. Two picks later, Okongwu goes to Atlanta, right?
Yes.
And he's another one that kind of is in that mold of Patrick Williams. So, you know, I can understand if you wanted to say there were players along those lines that you liked. It's hard to, for me, like, can you really call up today and be like, oh, they should have went with Denny Avdija? I mean, I don't know. I mean,
well, no,
I guess I would have loved, you know, who knows?
Listen, you know, some folks might say Obi Toppin. Some might even say Killian Hayes.
I'll give you that, Toppin. Yeah.
We'll see. But you know what? We haven't mentioned yet. The first overall pick, Carm, was Anthony Edwards. The Minnesota Timberwolves selected Anthony Edwards. And this gives us a rare opportunity to celebrate the filmography of one Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, who's really is underappreciated when you think about it.
No doubt. So in honor of the NBA draft, Anthony Edwards going number one overall, we're going to celebrate the film career of Anthony Edwards, the actor. And we'll do that throughout the show today.
We must. Talk to me, Goose. Plus, we will talk with Joe Colley from the Sun-Times to get his reaction on what the Bulls did last night and what the plan might be going forward starting tomorrow with NBA free agency. 312-332-3776. We'll take your calls, Bulls fans, if you want to chime in. Who else did you want? Are you willing to give AK and this crew the benefit of the doubt, even though a lot of people think that Williams went a little early and that the Bulls maybe reached for him at four? We'd love to hear your thoughts today as we're all over the draft. It's Carmen and Yurko, Midway, Jeff Meller sitting in for Yurk today and tomorrow. We'll be right back with Joe Colley.
Listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So, Lieutenant, where exactly were you?
Well, we, thank you,
Started up on his six when he pulled through the clouds, and then I moved in above him.
Well, if you were directly above him, how could you see him?
Because I was inverted.
No, he was, man. It was a really great move. She was inverted.
You were in a 4G inverted dive with the MiG-28?
Yes, ma'am.
At what range?
No, about 2 meters.
Well, it's actually about 1.5, I think. He was 1.5. I've got a great Polaroid of it, and he's right there. Must be 1.5.
It was a nice picture. It wasn't half. Thanks,
Lieutenant, man. What were you doing there?
Communicating. Keeping up foreign relations. I was, giving him the bird.
You know, the finger.
Yes, I know the finger, Goose.
I'm sorry. I hate it when it does that. I'm sorry.
Probably Anthony Edwards' greatest role. I mean, we figured we must celebrate the career filmography, as Mellor said, of Anthony Edwards. I mean, he was the first overall pick in the NBA draft last night, after all.
Yeah, quite a second career to his life. You don't see guys after the age of 50 get picked first overall in the NBA draft. But
got to be 55 years old.
There's a first time for everything. No, that's interesting because certainly that's a huge moment in his career. But isn't he synonymous with ER? I'm sure we'll hear an ER scene later in the show. But I don't know. Like, Anthony Edwards, I think as much as you think of him as Goose, I think most people think of him as Dr. Green in ER.
It could depend on your age, too. You know, for me, Top Gun, Goose, it was a hell of a thing when Goose died, man. It was sad. You know, it gets me every time.
We had a debate. Is that one of the most memorable film deaths in movie history? I think that's up there, right?
Got to be. That's a list that we might have to take some time to pour over. That would take a lot of unpacking. But we'll celebrate Anthony Edwards all day. Why the hell not? It's Carmen and Yurko. Jeff Mellor sitting in for the good kid today and tomorrow. Yurko will be back on Monday. He's with some buddies for the Bears bye weekend, having a good time. So Mellor's going to sit in. We get out to the Corona Hotline right now. We say hi to our buddy Joe Cowley from the Chicago Sun-Times, covering the Bulls and the NBA. And Joe, thanks as always. It's always good to talk to you. It's like an exercise in futility to start giving out grades, you know, the day after the draft. I mean, who the hell knows? Maybe he's a bust. Maybe he's a star. I don't know. But it seems they have a lot of Bulls fans kind of it's giving them some angst that he wasn't a starter. Is that really a big deal when an 18-year-old who played 1 year at Florida State didn't start?
Revenge of the Nerds, by the way.
That's another great one.
I think that's his first. That might be one of his earlier movies, but I'm old. So.
Joe, that's a good one, though.
Look, I get it. I get the concern with a guy that, is he Dion Waiters? Is it drafting a reliever that was a college reliever when you should probably just draft a starting pitcher and let him become a reliever? I mean, is that what we're talking about? But then, you kind of got to look at what this draft was. And, I know Arturis has kind of tried painting a picture that this draft was better than what we were saying. But let's think about it. Okay, your first overall pick probably would have rather been in the NFL draft. Yes. The second pick, obviously it had some bad decision-making because he was suspended after a couple of games. The third pick had a binder that he handed out to top 10 potential teams with all his social media aspirations and his clothing line plan, and then the fourth pick wasn't even a starter on his team. So that you got to kind of put in perspective. You definitely drafted upside, you drafted ceiling, and you drafted a leap of faith. This front office has made every move with a head nod, not only from the fan base, but I think from around the league, once Arturis was put in place, the general manager he got, the coach he got, firing Boylan. I mean, everything has been done very well. So you got to take that leap of faith that they had 5 extra months to put this guy under a microscope. He was a guy that was very young when he stepped on campus, one of the youngest kids in the draft, and was coming and coming and coming as the season went on. And they felt like, hey, I mean, we have to jump on this roller coaster and ride this thing out because this is a guy that, yeah, you are making that jump on potential. And so, that was the pick. And I had more of a problem with the second pick. I get it that they needed a draft in stat just because of the way the roster is built and just not a room for a guy. But Simonovic was kind of a head scratcher. And, again, I'm going to take that leap of faith that Arturis spent 5 years running the Adidas Euro camp and knows these guys and knows scouts that know these guys. So I think this first draft, we have to say, okay, you've done everything well to this point, so we'll continue to have this leap of faith that you are going to understand player and player development.
Joe Colley of the Sun-Times joining us here on ESPN 1000. Joe, you mentioned in your article today on the Sun-Times the rumor that seemed to be gaining the most steam amongst the NBA rumor mill yesterday, and that involved the Bulls potentially trading Wendell Carter Jr. to the Warriors along with their fourth pick for the number two. Obviously, that didn't happen, as you mentioned, but for me, that's the most encouraging thing because you hear that rumor, and I don't think the Bulls obviously leaked that rumor because that really didn't stand to help them.
No, that's the Golden State leak, exactly.
Precisely.
That helps Golden State.
So, but for me, what I appreciate now is watching this front office unfold here, giving them the opportunity to say, okay, we're going to see what Wendell Carter Jr. can do under our leadership. We're going to let him develop under our staff and Billy Donovan. And personally, I was a little concerned, but like you said, it was probably in the Warriors' best interest to leak that. So I personally am glad they didn't make any huge moves with the current roster because I'm glad they're going to say, let's see what we have here while we're in charge.
Well, they can do that because of how this roster is constructed and the contracts that are coming off. So you have the luxury of saying, we put different voices in place. We put actual real coaches and big boy coaches that know how to develop guys. I mean, look, Mark Eversley talked about when he came aboard and was researching the Bulls, he was shocked to find out they had one player development guy. They hired four player development guys last week, and that doesn't include the coaching staff. So think about that. Your coaching staff is obviously player development. That's instantly built into their title. So they have a coaching staff, whether it's Billy Donovan, Mo Cheeks. I mean, you go right down the line of four or five guys that they feel are really good at player development. Then they hire a department of four more guys of player development. So, I think they really kind of understand, look, we believe in the base talent of some of these guys. We just think they've been steered the wrong way. So let's see what they do with our tutelage, and let's see what they do when they hear a different voice and a voice that has actual a winning resume and what they become. And then if we don't like it, we can flip it quickly. I mean, that's the thing people have to understand. This is a year of saying, okay, let's see what this looks. Let's see what these guys are really made of. Let's see how much damage was done to their psyche with the previous coaching staff, and if we can resurrect it. And then if we don't like where it is, this is an easy flip. And then you're sitting pretty for the historic free agent class of 2021, which, could be as good as it gets. And that's where you have to go and chase down your elite superstars. And that, to me, that's when Arturis will really be tested. Is he a guy that can sit at that table and convince these guys that Chicago is the place you want to be and not to be afraid of the shadow of that statue in the atrium? Because for the most part, the old regime failed at that.
So Joe, is unlocking Lowry then kind of the number one goal early on here for this regime, like in this first year then?
Yeah, I don't think you could, but there's so many problems. I don't think you could put it in one, that Lowry's the biggest thing. I mean, he's obviously up there. Getting Zach to understand how great he could be if he plays defense, making sure that Kobe White is your point guard of the future. I mean, with the little money you have left for free agency, and even with the exceptions, and the fact that you didn't draft a point guard, that tells me that they've already anointed him the starting point guard from what they saw in the mini camp. And Satoransky will be his backup potentially for right now. But I mean, we all saw Zach was basically the point guard late in games and had the ball in his hands and was a ball dominant guy in the last 4 or 5 minutes of games that were close. So, I mean, you can go right down the list. I mean, Wendell Carter was not happy being a five. Can you find a happy spot for him where he and Lowry are interchangeable and Lowry bucks up and can play some post and can play some five? So there's so many things that they have. But, yeah, Lowry's right up there. But, I mean, look, there was a lot of issues with this team last year.
Joe, as we let you go, a quick question here. What do you think the outlook from the front office is? Do you think that the playoffs is... I mean, the East is a wasteland. Like, the eighth seed shouldn't be that far of a stretch. But at the same time, do you think that's something that they're truly aiming for, or if it just happens to occur while the development is taking place, so be it.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's as big of a wasteland as we're used to it being. I mean, when you look, you know, obviously Milwaukee's at the top, but when you look at Miami and Indiana, I mean, you've got all these teams that are just physically and mentally tougher than you and tougher than your Bulls roster. And so, to me, there's still a lot for them to overcome where I can say, okay, this is a playoff team. What I think they'd like to see is what are the parts that we feel are a playoff team moving forward at the end of this upcoming season, and then how many superstars can we lure here, if any? So to me, I don't think you're thinking playoffs. They're not going to come out and say that. I think the reality of it is the East has, you know, your Toronto still. I mean, you still have some tough teams to jump. So I don't think playoffs are in the cards. I think this is more of let's make sure we have the right pieces, the right parts for this car that we're building, and then we could go ahead and add some really huge pieces, like I said, in the free agent class of 21. I think that's what this upcoming season is about.
At Jay Colley Hoops on Twitter, Joe Colley from the Sun-Times covering the Bulls in the NBA. We appreciate it as always, Joe. Thanks.
All right, boys, stay safe.
All right, buddy, you too. We'll see you. There's Joe Colley breaking it down a little bit for you. Bulls fans, you can react 312-332-3776. Plus, we'll get a quick weekend weather update and talk about some of the key football matchups, even though there's no Bears this week, some of the good college action, and a forecast for tonight's Thursday night game, which should be a good one in the Pacific Northwest between the Seahawks and the Cardinals. We'll do that with Tracy Butler coming up next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
I'm a nerd.
Welcome to the real world.
I never really wanted to believe that. It's okay. It's not okay. We're nothing. We let them destroy our house.
Louis, we're going to control the Great Council next year.
Big deal! You'd be dead by then, Gilbert. Nobody cares. Don't you understand that? The university doesn't care. There's nothing we can do about it.
I think we got something good going, and I'm not going to let them take it away from us.
Gilbert, don't be a fool. You just get yourself hurt again.
Big deal.
Gilbert.
Well, the nerds would get their revenge. Good old Adams College, I tell you, man. Revenge of the Nerds.
Lambda, Lambda, Lambda.
The Tri-Lambs, baby. 1984. There it is. We're celebrating Anthony Edwards since he was the first overall pick last night. On Twitter, at Carmen DeFalco, Anthony Edwards is most synonymous with ER, Revenge of the Nerds, Top Gun, or the Minnesota Timberwolves. Go ahead and vote. Vote early, vote often. Jeff Meller sitting in for the good kid the next couple of days. I know Bulls fans want to talk, and we will grab your calls, we promise. Also, Dan Weider's got a Bears update just after 11. Tracy Butler's got weekend weather for us right now. Boy, you delivered today, Tracy, for David Kaplan turning 60. I mean, November 19th, we'll take this. Beautiful day today, right?
Fantastic. You know what? As compared to Yurko, if it makes you guys feel any better, right now it's 58 degrees here. It's 49 degrees where he is. It was in the 30s there this morning. We'll be in the 30s again there tonight, where we only dropped to probably around 51.
Wow.
But you know what? Yeah, but it'll be okay for him the rest of the weekend, I think. But, yeah, it's going to be warmer here today for us than it will be for him in Pinehurst today.
That's amazing. So no Bears this weekend, but give us probably the biggest local game of the weekend is Merkin's very nervous. His Badgers come at Evanston, 2:30 kick, Northwestern undefeated against Wisconsin on Saturday. Is it still going to be pleasant Saturday afternoon?
Well, you know what? I mean, weather's not going to have much impact. I don't even see any strong winds, unlike what we're getting out there today. Kickoff temperature is probably going to be about 45. We should hold the rain off. I don't see the rain getting in here until at the earliest, maybe 6 or 7 o'clock Saturday evening, and that's at the very earliest. Winds look pretty light, so I don't think there's going to be any major weather impact on that game for the weekend.
Tracy, we are a week out from Thanksgiving. I know weather can change a week later, but give us a peek ahead. What does it look like for the old Turkey Day?
Yes. Well, you know what? I know a lot of families, I know my family, I grew up, we always had a big turkey bowl in the backyard, and I was always picked last. But anyway, I digress. But for Thanksgiving next week, you know, we're looking at highs probably most of the week only in the 40s. So I'm not seeing the 60s like we have today, but I don't see any major storm systems coming our way here next week either. So far, Thanksgiving is looking quiet. It's looking dry. I know there are three big NFL games on the Thanksgiving Day, but, you know, and we'll look at the weather for those. But so far for us here in Chicago, nothing major, but temperatures probably seasonable.
All right, real quick, tonight, Thursday Night Football, Week 11 kicks off. Should be a good game. What's the weather like in Seattle for Cardinals and Seahawks?
You know what? Not bad. 42 degrees at kickoff. You're looking at, you know, a partly cloudy sky. Again, no major impact there. I know we're also looking at the Indiana-Ohio State game, and that game looks pretty tranquil as well. I don't see any major impact from weather for many of the college games that I know many of us local folks are watching this weekend. So things are pretty quiet for
tonight's
us for the weekend. Tonight, go ahead.
Tonight's still on track for an over then, if the weather's not going to be bad. That's what I'll take the over. We've got a good weekend coming up.
I wish I could say that. Saturday looks like the better of the days over the weekend. You know, if you have some yard work you want to get out and do, it's probably going to be 40s here both days, but Sunday looks like we're going to have light rain most of the day. I'll tell you what, if you want to sneak in a round of golf, tomorrow is the day to do it. We're back up around 60 degrees here tomorrow, and tomorrow will not be as windy as what we're getting out there today.
Nice. Tracy, have a great weekend. Have a great Thanksgiving too, okay?
Okay, guys, you as well. Happy Thanksgiving to all.
Talk to you later. There's Tracy Butler.
All right, Carm.
We got time for a quick call?
We do. The people want to have their say. Joey is in Schaumburg. Joey, what do you think about the Bulls draft last night?
I like it. If it was, I've been telling my friends, if it was last year or the year before and it was like a Gar Pax pick, I'd probably be losing my mind. But with AK, I trust him, and I do think this kid's going to be good. And there's not one player in this draft where you're like, oh, you just must have him. So, I mean, even if, like, Anthony Edwards got passed over, I don't think anybody would have been going crazy if he got passed over. And
no.
I think it's a good pick. And like, again, Garpax always went for the safe pick. Like, Wendell Carter was kind of a safe pick. You know, high floor, low ceiling guys. And, like, I like it, the whole home run. You know, go for it. Try to get your superstar. If not, like Joe Colley said, then you have a great draft class coming up next year. I mean, a great free agency class coming up next year. A pretty decent draft class that I look at it. And I don't get why people are so up in arms about this pick because they're basing off of, oh, he only averaged 9 points a game. I mean,
That's what people do, Joe, though. That's how we react to these drafts. I mean, but you make a good point. I mean, we probably would have been going nuts if it was the old regime still. I don't ever really go nuts over a draft. I mean, it's just you can't. It's silly to try to grade it right now or to think that you've got all the answers. I mean, it's a hard thing to do. But yeah, I think most Bulls fans, wouldn't you agree, Jeff, are like going to take the approach that, okay, well, you got a new regime, you kind of have to trust them right now, in a regime that's been pretty successful in years past. So we give them the benefit of the doubt for now.
Yeah, absolutely. See what happens, and you know, we'll be more critical as the years go on. And if, you know, for whatever reason some of these picks don't work out, then I think it'll be harder to give them the benefit of the doubt. But
sure,
everything Karnišovas has said, you know, I've been impressed with. And you know, I just, all I can go off of is the resume, you know, that he has in Denver, and you know what they're doing right now is impressive. So I'm going to give him an opportunity to see how it plays out.
All right. When we come back, we will take more of your Bulls calls, too, if you want to tell us what you think about the pick, if there's somebody you would have preferred, or if you're very willing to give AK and this new regime the benefit of the doubt here after kind of swinging for the fences a little bit. It's maybe a little boom or bust, but it's a different tack than what we usually had. 312-332-3776. Plus, what are Bears coaches, doing this week and into next to try to save this season? And is there anything they really can do? We'll ask that of Dan Wiederer when we come back in 2 minutes.